Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Do We Know Them, episode 134. I'm really trying to bring my energy up because today has been absolute dog turd shit, but I'm going to try, and I'm happy to be here and get my mind off of things for a little bit.
Jesse had a rough morning. I was doing fine until we started getting ready, and actually, yesterday was a rough day because my entire lighting camera system decided it was just going to, like, crashed down onto the ground. And I came in here and I thought everything was fine, but one of the power cords wasn't working. So lucky for me, I have a million power cords. So I like dig through my endless black hole of cords and I find one, and I guess I didn't check like the voltage or something. And when we were about to start, I went to grab my light to pull it closer. And you guys, I think I have third degree burns on four of my fingers now. I'm just gonna be icing it with my Truly.
Specifically, you're supposed to run it under cold water when you get burns.
Yeah, well, we don't
because
talk
your
about
skin
that.
Continues to burn like far after. After it actually makes
I can
contact.
Feel that.
I got a burn from boiling water like a week ago on my stomach, and that was so fucking annoying. I couldn't even wear
on
clothes.
Your stomach?
Yeah, because when I put something in the pot, it like splashed onto my shirt and it seeped through my shirt.
I was like, were you just cooking in the noon?
Oh, definitely not.
Anyway, we're both having a rough day.
Yeah, my daughter's just very sick. I don't know. I can't. My brain's not working. It's one of those days.
I really think we need to invest in just bubbles to put them in.
It's not even that. I went to the doctor today with Amelie, and the doctor was like, when did she start at like school? And I was like, I don't know, I want to say like 7 months ago or something. She's like, yeah, it's the first year. They're just getting everything. Like, that's just how it goes.
She's building up her immune system.
Well, she's gotten literally everything. She had to freaking get an antibiotic shot because she can't take medication. And the lady's like, oh, let me check if there's a rash, like a reaction. And she had the rash from when she had hand, foot, and mouth. Like, it's still scarred on her. So I was like, well, that's a different rash. That's from when she was sick like 3 weeks ago. But I swear, I mean, you parents out there, you fucking know. There is no brain fry like at the end of a day when all your kids are sick. Everyone's fucking crying. It is just like a war zone. You literally you're just like, I think I'm going to die. Like, I think
well,
I might die.
Because I feel
right
like it must be so emotionally draining and then also so physically draining. And you're just like trying to problem solve. And
honestly,
it's
the physical, sure. But the mental fucks me up so much more because I'm just like, oh my God, can I please like breathe for a second? But then if I step out of my house and breathe for a second, I feel awful and I'm like, I should be with my kids. It's the worst. Anyway, I'm here to get my mind off of it, and I get to be here and not feel guilty because this is my job. So
isn't that fun?
It is.
Sorry, I have to go talk about gossip today because it pays the bills.
Yeah.
Thanks to you guys.
But here I am, and I'm sure this will actually help my energy. At first, I was like, I can't film this. It's too much. But now I'm like, okay, this is probably the best thing to
it's,
like
it's
step
good
away.
To talk it through. Oh. P.S. One, I wanted to throw out another thank you to the girlies because we have now hit 60,000, I think, for our
Jesus.
GoFundMe. And while I'm like, while for some reason, that still might not eventually be enough for right now. It puts us at a comfortable spot, and we are so grateful.
Yes, we are so grateful. And I'm like, dude, if we need to raise more money, I'm about to go pop this ass in the corner right by my house or something. I'm not going to ask for any more money. I can't do it. But thank you so much if you did donate. We very much appreciate it. And what's so funny is that we're actually talking about a GoFundMe in this very video. So that'll be a...
Oh, really?
Yeah. Todger Calls GoFundMe.
Yes, correct. I was like, Jesse picked the topics for today, but I am familiar with that. Yes.
Well, Jesse just saw drama flying left and right on TikTok yesterday, including the first topic we're going to talk about, which is Leo. What's his last name? Skeppy. So that was all over my For You page. I also have this random fisherman drama that we could just save for another day or not ever talk about again.
Fisherman.
Some guy who removes barnacles from a lobster. It's this whole thing. Anyway.
Oh, also did want to throw out an apology if you watched the last episode about JoJo. It was our reaction to her music video.
Oh, Jesus.
One, I'm sorry that it was kind of late. But two, the reason it was late and why I'm sorry is because, oh my God, we've never had a copyright situation as complicated as this. And it wasn't for using the music. It was just for showing the video.
Yeah.
And I think I had to export like 10 different versions by the time it finally went up. And it wasn't just like, oh, you can't monetize it. It was like, no, we are blocking this and no one can see it ever.
Well, I was actually, it was so late. I kept dozing in and out of sleep. And then I would wake up and it'd just be like 10 texts from Lily being like, fuck, what the fuck?
It would be like a wave that would be like, okay, I think I got it this time. Because I was exporting like small versions to test it and it'd be like, yeah, this is good. And then I upload the long one. Guess what wasn't good anymore? So it'd be like, fuck me.
Very annoying.
So the end result was like, you could barely even tell what was going on in the music video.
Really? Oh, shit, I haven't seen it. Not really.
It was, like, slits of, like, I did, like, black and white spots. And then I eventually, for the final one, I had to do a chunk of it where it had, like, a, like, fisheye, weird, warped.
Did you put, like, a disclaimer? Are people just so confused?
At the very beginning, I did. But then, like, I was like, that'll just draw more attention. Oh, and I also had two watermarks that were, like, traveling across the screen.
Jesus. And then all of that, and then Lily texts me, and she's like, oh, God, two of the notes did an export or something. She's like, I'm disappearing in the middle.
And I was so mad because I did the fucking notes, you guys. I was like, what do you mean? Like, I did them. And it's just, it was a whole thing.
Well, you guys got to visit the fun days when we would disappear all the time. So we just got a little taste of that.
No, I saw a comment, though, that was like, well, this time, because they're like, Houdini? And I was like, are you fucking kidding me? Anyway, the episode was cursed, so apologies.
JoJo hope you enjoyed is cursed, anyway. And I never want to see her again. I'm sorry, but I don't.
Yeah, we've talked about doing that additional deep dive. I don't want to.
I don't want to either.
Dude, I'm so sick of hearing her.
Every time I see a new interview from her, I'm just like, oh, God. Like, have you seen, not even an interview. You know what? No, forget it. I don't even want to talk about it. You want to
talk about the gay pop comment?
The gay pop, her saying that she's a psychopath on stage. There's just so many, like, little sprinkles that I'm just like, girl, no, thank you.
Anyway,
we will jump into our actual topic for today, which is thankfully not JoJo Siwa. And the first topic is about Leo Skippy.
So I don't know anything about him. I recognize him because I definitely passed him on my For You page, but nothing.
I have to say.
At all.
The only reason I know him or know of him is because, like I've mentioned for a long time, I have followed Fanita on TikTok for a long time. Oh, yeah, she is friends with Leo. And I've never liked him. I gotta say, I've never liked him. His vibe is way off.
The one thing I do know about him, isn't he like really tall?
He's really tall and apparently only owns one black tank top.
Yes, yes. So it's like literally looks like he just like bulk shoots 500 videos in a day, but it's every day. Yeah.
It's so funny because like when he's going to dinner or something, there's a video of him like, all right, let's get dressed for dinner. And it's just him putting a leather jacket over the tank top and being like, all right, period. Let's go. I don't know. I have to say, I have never liked his vibe. Sue me. I think that he thinks he's doing one thing and he's in fact doing another, which this is very evident of what we're going to talk about today. He has this way of talking that I know he thinks he's funny, but to me, it's harsh. It's rude and it doesn't land with me. Yeah, condescending and also full of shit to me. Like, not necessarily him, his vibe is full of shit. Like, this, like, oh, I'm Albanian. Like, I just, like, don't give a fuck. I'm like, you do give a fuck. Like, I see you. I don't know. I've never vibed with
like,
him.
Like, it kind of seems like he's putting on a persona.
Yes. Another thing that I noticed from him long before the situation we're going to talk about is he does discuss a lot that he used to be overweight.
Okay.
And then he lost the weight.
You used to be fat?
Yeah, I was a fat little shit when I was a kid.
So how did you take care of that? The fat thing.
It's an STD. How did you take care of that? You want like my journey or like tips for people?
I kind of want tips for people.
Okay. Just start looking at the nutrition label on food. Becoming aware of like how many calories are in things and how big is a serving size. Because my fat ass used to eat 2 packs of ramen noodles. There's 2 servings in 1 pack.
So
that's 4 servings.
And one thing that I always noticed is that when he's talking about the meals that he's eating, it's very toxic diet culture speak. All the time. That's pretty much all I knew about him. But anything I did see of him, I never once got like a, oh, nice guy. Like, cool. What's dude. Funny,
I think collectively I've only ever seen like maybe 2 videos from him other than just like passing him and recognizing him. One was actually someone else talking about him. It was like someone that was joking. And they were like, all the guys on TikTok are these like scrawny little like, you see them and you're like, that's a TikTok. Then there's people like Leo Skeppy, who is like a fucking NFL player.
I just saw this video of Leo Skeppy shot. I love Leo Skeppy. And he's like, this is like this dude who's like, oh, stays in a black tank top. He's like 6'7" and it's just like slamming Vita Coco. And I forget that like, I'm an influencer. I'm in the space where like a lot of people are influencers. Everyone's like, everyone looks like they do TikTok. But then there's these units out there, these Leo Skeppies of the world with like 6'7" linebackers walking around with like social media following, like money lit. And it's like, this just, it's like a life mog being 6'7".
And then the only other thing I've seen was like, funny enough, a get ready with me where he was going out.
Was he just putting on a jacket?
Literally. And I think he had like maybe a crossbody bag or something. But yeah, it was very much like a fit check, but I was like, don't you always just, isn't that the same thing?
Yeah, that's another thing that he does. And it's almost always like designer stuff. He likes his like Gucci.
He seems very into fashion, which is funny just because it's always the same thing.
It's an interesting choice because you can like a tank top and be like, oh, this is a vibe. But I've never seen someone wear something every single day.
Like, have you ever seen Doug where he opens his closet and it's all just the same outfit?
Well, and it's like Jenna Marbles with her black leggings where it's just like, you know, you would hope that he just owns a lot of them, but one can never be sure. Maybe he's just wearing the same one. Anyway, the reason why we're here today is because he posted a TikTok that saying it ruffled some feathers would be an understatement. He got people fucking pissed, including his own friends. But we'll watch it first. It's deleted. Lily found it, of course. Please note that he did take that down today, but it was up all yesterday while everyone was reaming him. It was up all throughout the night, and he just deleted it this morning.
Well, so here's the deleted one we'll watch first. Mm-hmm. And I started watching it, but I saved it to get my reaction now.
Same. I haven't seen the whole thing, but I got the gist of it.
Okay, so he's wearing a black tank top.
You did not need to say that.
A brand not making your size in something does not give you grounds to talk shit and degrade the brand. Brands are allowed to want a certain look and image with their products. They are allowed to make things for the people they want to make them for. I've been seeing too many people talking shit recently, and it's pissing me off. People are allowed to have preferences, and brands are allowed to create an image with what they want and have a specific type of person wear what they have. Not everybody needs to be catered to by everything and everyone. And this is a lesson I had to learn when I was fucking fat. I used to think clothes just weren't flattering. No, babe, the body wasn't fucking flattering. But a lot of brands don't make my size and a lot of shit still. And if a piece of clothing is not flattering on you, it doesn't mean the item or product is not flattering or is not good. It's not made for you. I'm a size 16 shoe. A lot of brands don't make my size. Do I waste my time and lend my energy and focus to what I don't want and what I can't have and attacking brands for not making my fucking size? No. Every single human being is very powerful. You have to be careful with where you put your attention and your focus. For you to stick your attention and your energy on what doesn't work for you, what is not made for you, and what brands don't want you to wear their fucking shit, you're never gonna have mental space to think and look for and discover brands that are made for you. You can't keep focusing on what you don't want and find what you do want. Get your fucking attention off of the shit that's not for you and the things you don't like. I'm never gonna find my size in shoes that I like if all I'm doing is sitting here crying how most brands only go to a 13. Fuck them. I'm gonna go buy the shoes that go to my size. But key point here. If my focus is nothing but stuck on the brands that don't make my size, I'm gonna feel nothing but frustrated, irritated, singled out, and pissed off. That's a waste of your energy. Being a human being is a very valuable experience, and it's a very precious thing. Don't waste your fucking time on the shit that's not for you. Don't let useless nonsense irritate you. I know social media has a big fucking mental illness of its own with contributing to people lacking perspective of what really fucking matters. Clothes not being in every single person's size is very, very minute and a very minuscule thing compared to what else is going on in the world. Maybe go the fuck outside and go experience some real contrast and see what other people are really dealing with and living with. And you might be a little more appreciative of your situation and the fact that you can go find other shit that does fit you. Brands are allowed to do what they want. I'm not saying they're right or wrong for discriminating. They're going to do it. You bitching about it is going to do nothing but ruin your emotional state and your mental state. That's what I want to protect you from. I got to be a little harsh with you because I love
thank
you.
Thank you, Leo.
But get your fucking focus off the shit that ain't for you so you can find what is.
Oh not
bye,
the
Leo.
Okay, there's so many thoughts I have for that.
I want to point out before we get into his weird shit at the end there, because talk about going off the fucking rails. Please never become a, like, speaker, like a public speaker.
You're not a motivational speaker.
That was not motivating at all. But I do want to point out in the beginning how he not so subtly said, the clothes aren't the problem. It's you, if you're fat, that's making them look like shit.
Well, and also he's kind of lumping a few things together where it's like people complaining that stores might not carry plus sizes aren't saying the clothes look bad on them. They're saying they don't even have the option to wear the clothes.
There's a lot more we're going to say on his actual commentary. But what I do want to know is people are kind of putting two and two together. And what's interesting is that him and Fanita are definitely friends. He's been on Fanita's podcast. They've filmed a billion TikToks together. And a day before he posted that, Fanita posted this. So people were like, oh, so was this in response to Fanita, who she had, I believe it was gastric bypass surgery. I'm not sure what exact surgery she had, but she was plus size and she's lost a lot of weight since then. And she's been very vocal about feeling beautiful before and after and not liking when people are just telling her like, oh, you look so good now. And she's just very vocal about her whole journey and how she feels about how people perceive her when she was plus size and now that she's not. So she regularly talks about this topic and she did it a day before he posted this, which they follow each other. I don't feel like there would have been any way that he wouldn't have seen that, but that's what people are thinking.
The reason your plus size clothing isn't selling is because your clothes are ugly as fuck. Y'all take the ugliest fabric known to man and make that shit a goddamn blouse. Nobody wants to wear that ugly ass shower curtain you call a shirt. And I'm being dead the fuck serious. Just because a girl got a little bit of meat on her don't mean she wanna wear that shit either. And y'all do this shit on purpose so then y'all can use it as an excuse. Well, our plus size clothes don't really sell. I don't really know what the problem is. Yeah, because it's fucking hideous, bitch. If I'm gonna keep it a stack. Radical idea, but if you made the same clothes that you made for straight sizes and plus sizes, I don't know, maybe that revenue would be a little bit stronger. Maybe somebody will be willing to purchase and put their motherfucking card down, but nobody wants to wear a fucking leopard print blouse at the fresh age of 21. I'm sorry. Don't nobody want to have on zebra print and tropical island prints. And that's why you sustainable clothing bitches can kiss the crack of my black ass. And that's why I'll never in my life talk down on Fashion Nova, because when I was a big body Benz, please don't crash, they held me down. That y'all can say what y'all want about fast fashion. They hold the big girls down, but y'all skinny bitches don't give a fuck because it don't concern you. You can walk into any store and get anything you fucking want and you don't give a fuck.
So she posted that literally the day before he posted his, which she's not coming for a specific brand, but she's very much being like, the shit we do have available is ass, and why don't brands who make other clothes that are fashionable not just extend their sizes? Okay,
so this couldn't be a more perfect segue. As soon as I watched part of his, two videos immediately came to mind, and one of them is so funny. The girl I see in a few things, I don't actually know what her name was, and she isn't tagged in it, but it was on Betches on their TikTok. But it speaks to that exact thing that Fanita was just saying, where it's like, there aren't a lot of options for plus size clothing, and the options there are for it are ugly as fuck.
And I know she mentioned animal print, but the biggest one I see, like when I go with my mom to Torrid or Lane Bryant or something, is florals. Like, why do they think every plus size person likes florals?
Get ready, because you're gonna die. This is so funny. The caption on screen is plus size clothes be like, and it's just her trying on a bunch of things. She's a different character for each one.
It's giving, I hate my arms, but I still like to party. I don't want to cause a man to stumble with this sexy gold shoulder. So ugly. Tickets, please. Tickets. I'm a businesswoman in the Bronx. Don't disrespect me. I'm very proud of my daughter on this special day.
Oh my gosh.
There needs to be an air conditioner in here. Vote for women. Vote for women everywhere.
I like that.
They only give us these to hide our stomachs.
Don't look down here.
Oh boy. Doctor, we'll see you now. Please sign in. Please sign in.
I have Werther's in my purse for you.
Wait, is this one really cute? The tickets, please one was my favorite.
That's what makes it so absurd for somebody like Leo, who has not been plus size for quite some time.
And only wears black tank tops.
To come in here and be like, oh, the issue is that they don't want you in it because the body's the issue. They don't want to see you wearing their clothes. It's like, girl?
Well, and so then for him to be like, don't focus your energy on trying to like challenge these brands to carry plus size clothing. Just go to the ones that do. And to that, I immediately thought of, I don't know if you saw, I think it was what happened recently, People's Choice. Brie from Barstool and Grace O'Malley both got invited, and Grace got so much positive feedback from this. And I know even like Anthropology was commenting on it and being like, we wish we could have helped you, like next time let us know.
Oh, because she couldn't find a dress and she was going last
and
minute.
I'm like,
that.
Can Leo watch this and then tell her to be like, just go where they have plus size clothing, because guess what, that's the problem.
Yeah. Go to Torrid.
Looking for a dress for the People's Choice Awards, how to get drunk to do so. I just went to Bloomingdale's to see if there was a dress there. I'm honestly willing to spend a pretty penny. I said, you guys have any plus size? She said, no, look at Eileen Fisher. I said, all right, I'm gonna go fuck myself. Nordstrom Rack's next, or Nordstrom. Where's Nordstrom? I told everyone to you know, go their separate ways because I have to do this alone. I just get so upset when I'm shopping, especially like for a big event and I really want to look nice.
Yeah.
They don't have anything for
me. Bloomingdale's is not a small store.
Maybe I'll.
They have no plus size?
And I just asked, do you have any plus size dresses? And they said, not really. And it's already like so embarrassing to ask. So it's tough to get that answer. She said, yeah, you can check like the sale rack. Sometimes they have them. Okay, I went to Nordstrom, went to the designer section, said, does any of the designers make any kind of plus size clothing? The lady got so fucking nervous. She's like, I don't think so. I'm going to look around. I said, thank you so much, but it's okay if they don't. Yeah, I was about to bawl my eyes out. It's coming. It's coming. I'm trying Macy's right now. I didn't want to have to get my dress at Macy's. I really wanted to dress nice for this. I wanted to, like, go crazy. My lip was quivering while looking for dresses in here. I'm... A big cry's coming. I promise you that. It's just crazy to be invited to these things and still not be able to both afford and fit in dresses. It makes it not fun. Like, not fun at all. I wish there was a happier ending to this. Shut up. No luck, though.
Leo, tell us again how she should go spend her energy going to places that carry it, because guess what? They don't.
What's super problematic about his take, we can kind of go back to what he said and dissect it a little bit because it is important. He also has multiple friends who are women of color, and the logic that he is spewing is so flawed in so many ways, but it's very similar to telling Black women, like, literally just go to makeup brands that provide shades for you. Why the fuck are you fighting brands that don't give you what you want? Because they deserve to walk into a store. Just like if I need a foundation, I could walk into a store and leave with the foundation that's my color, not leave looking gray or pale or fucked up. Like, isn't that the bare minimum? It's literally not that hard.
Even him comparing like his shoe size. Like, what percentage of the population has size 16 feet?
That is the big difference. People like to put blankets over like Black people with makeup or like plus size people and be like, well, the market's not there. They're not gonna buy it. Like, we can't just have a bunch of plus size stuff in our store because nobody's gonna buy it.
Because you make it ugly.
Well, yeah, that's a whole separate problem. But yeah, there's so many layers to it. And to just be like, don't put your energy into that. You know, there's like people going through worse shit. Sir, what? That is so not the point.
It's just insane because it's like twofold for the plus size stuff. Because one, they're like, no one wants to buy it. And it's like, yeah, well, no one wants to buy it because it's not cute. But like, then the people that don't carry it at all are like, well, it's just not going to do well for us. It's not a small market. There are a lot of people that would be thrilled to have plus size options. And you don't want to risk it, I guess. But then the ones that do are like, no one's buying it. Sorry.
I don't think it's about risk. I think that if I really want to, it's not even deep. It's just to me what it is. I think that it's an underlying feeling that those people do not deserve what other people deserve.
And then I think of like Abercrombie and stuff, like how they had very strict, like the people that could work there had to look a certain way and they only make their clothes for a certain type of people.
I remember.
Yeah. They're like, that's not who we make our clothes for. That's fucked in any scenario. But then when you're talking about like Grace goes to Nordstrom, Bloomingdale's, Macy's, and none of them have any, like they don't even have plus size options. Those aren't companies where it's like they're really like specific and controlling about who's wearing their stuff. They have everything there. So like, why would you not just accommodate for another huge group of people that's gonna like ultimately help your revenue and just make them feel better and give them options?
I know that the Abercrombie quote from that owner was like horrible and everyone was so upset, but I think that that's how a lot of these corporations feel. They're just not gonna say that. Like Brandy Melville, you think that they don't actually probably think and talk that way. And that's what pisses me off so much about Leo's rhetoric here too, because he's actively, while he's telling you like, fuck them, like who cares? Don't give them attention. He's defending them with his full chest. He is saying, you don't get to bash a brand just because they don't carry what you want them to carry.
When he's like, I'm not saying it's right or wrong. Yes, you are.
Yes, you are.
Absolutely. You're saying they're right by doing whatever they want, which it's like comparing them to going to a restaurant and they don't have your favorite food because that's like not what they get. That's not the same thing.
Yeah, this is not people being Karens and coming into a place being like, I want what I want.
Oh, and then he's like acting like, don't waste waste your time. Like, what is that doing to just, like, complain about things?
A lot.
Well, guess what? If enough people complain, they're going to make a change.
Look at fucking Abercrombie. What the fuck are you talking literally, about? You think the owner still doesn't feel that way? Probably they do. But they're just like, you know what? Enough people got pissed. They're saying, we want this. And then they launched it and enough people fucking bought it.
Before we go any further, we do have a word from our first sponsor of the episode, Scentbird.
If you guys watch the show, you probably already know who Scentbird is, but if you don't, it's a fragrance subscription service that lets you choose a new designer fragrance to try out every month for just $17.
What did you get this month?
I got actually really good ones. So I got DS and Durga, I Don't Know What, which is my favorite, The Seven Virtues, Cherry Ambition, and Commodity Milk.
Ooh, I've gotten that one before.
Yeah, but my favorite is I Don't Know What, because it's actually a fragrance enhancer, so you can mix it with other things, and it really has an I Don't Know What vibe. My friend Kathleen has always recommended this one, and I was super excited to try it because it also has bergamot, which is one of my favorite notes. And yeah, I love it. It's great, and it's mixed well with every single perfume I've tried it with so far.
I don't think I've tried any of these before. I got Marc Jacobs Daisy Oh So Fresh. You were the one that told me that that's not the same as just Marc Jacobs Daisy, which I was familiar with. So no. I figured I might as well try it because I love Daisy. Then I got Vince Camuto Illuminaire, and then Dead Cool Extra Milk.
The amount that you get is an amazing amount, and in my opinion, way more than enough to have as a trial. This is like way bigger than a trial size perfume.
Well, that's the best part because then you do get to like try new things without committing to like the full bottle. But also I feel like perfume lasts so long. Maybe I just don't use enough of it, but I feel like I have so many of these now that I just can be like, what do I feel like today?
And if you guys want to try Scentbird right alongside us, you can use our coupon code 55DOWENKNOW for 55% off at Scentbird,
which comes out to just a little over $7 for your first month. So if you want to try it, go to scentbird.com and use the code 55DOWENKNOW.
And once again, thank you to Scentbird for being an amazing sponsor of this podcast. Mm-hmm. It's frustrating for someone who experienced it to be spitting shit like this, especially when you consider that his followers, his friends are plus size people. And there are people that really felt uncomfortable and attacked and felt like, you think I'm like not, first of all, not worthy of like getting clothes my size at a regular ass store. Like if you go to Target, you should be able to leave with something.
Well, and that's what I'm saying about like, I don't think any store should be doing that. But like the ones that have zero excuse are the ones that are these big corporations where they are not trying to control who buys their things. They're just not accommodating for
on purpose
an entire group of people.
It didn't slip anyone's mind on a fucking board. Yeah.
They just chose not to.
The audacity that he had to do this and say this is quite large. And so people ran directly to Fanita and to Drew Afualo because they are both publicly friends with Leo. And they, you know, Fanita was plus size. Drew is always getting picked on fucking line by men for her weight and all this shit. So it's just like really extra fucked up to say something like that when you know where your friends stand because they're all about body positivity and acceptance. And so when people came to them and were like, oh my God, like, what do you think? They were both understandably a little fucking annoyed in the sense of like, you guys know what we think. That was basically their take.
Because it's not like people want them to defend him. They want them to denounce him. And it's like, that sucks, I think, with influencer situations where everyone's like, you need to comment on something that you've associated. Like, if you've associated with this person and they do something, somehow now you're
their spokesperson
being pulled into it. And you have like, to you need them. To be commenting on it. And it's like, they're probably really upset and don't want to publicly talk about it because they're dealing with it internally.
Yeah. Neither of them said his name. But Fanita said, why, when a white man says something that he said on his own, I didn't fucking conspire with him to say that shit, and you know by all my content that I don't agree with that shit.
Hey, I want to talk to you all about something important and topical, and then we're not going to talk about it anymore after this. First things first, if y'all see something happen on this app that you know for a fucking fact I have spoken out against and I genuinely do not support and never fucking have, there's absolutely no reason for you to ask what my thoughts are on it. You should fucking know what my thoughts are on it. That's one. Two, the subject of fat phobia is constantly discussed on this app, a lot of times in a way that is unhelpful and unproductive, a lot of times in ways that is disguised as motivation but is actually just bigotry. And by that I mean this: fat phobia goes far beyond insults. It goes far beyond jokes about people being whales, cows, whatever the fuck you want to call fat people. And I've been called it all. Believe me, you bitch. The amount of fat phobia I've experienced online in the last 2-3 years would fucking shock you, bitch. In fact, it would traumatize most of you. In the same way that misogyny isn't just jokes about women making sandwiches, fat phobia is not just jokes about weight. It goes so far deeper than that. So if you yourself think that you're not fat phobic because at one point you were overweight, first of all, that's not the same thing as being fat. It's really important that you know the difference, because people who are overweight and people who are fat and live as a fat person have a much, much different life experience than you. So you cannot speak on something that you personally have never fucking experienced. And past that, if you don't think you're fat phobic, but you're upholding fat phobic rhetoric, guess what, bitch? You're fucking fat phobic. Sorry, don't know how else to break that to you, but 1 + 1 = 2. And last, stop blaming women of color for things that white people do on their fucking own. They did that with their own brain and their own thoughts. Believe it or not, when we spend time with people in real life, they don't always show us shit like that, okay? Sometimes we find out when the rest of you do, and then we move accordingly.
Y'all come to us and are like, well, what are you gonna say now? Like, basically for them to do the legwork of like, oh my God, this is so wrong. They shouldn't have to deal with it at all just because they were friends with him. And I'm sure this put a sour taste in their mouth, and maybe there was text messages or something. I don't know, but I doubt they're feeling great about it.
People will definitely flip out and be like, well, if they're friends with him, they're supporting that kind of behavior. And it's like, have you ever had a friend that did something that you disagreed with? And then that could potentially, like, maybe this is causing a rift in their friendship, yeah, and they're not as close anymore. But now you're just pretending like they have co-signed everything he said.
Yeah, Drew said that basically people needed to allow them to take in what happened and like move accordingly. You know what I mean? It's just like, if they don't want to be friends with him anymore after this, then they don't have to be. If they do want to be friends with him, then I guess that's their business. And we can get a little bit more insight into Leo's mindset now, which is a day later, because I'm pretty sure he uploaded that either yesterday or like a little bit over a day ago. But he uploaded an apology addressing, I don't know what I want to call it, but he addressed the situation about like 45 minutes ago or something. So I hope it's still there. You would think this is the same day because of the tank top, but nay, nay, this is a separate
day. That's also like, why are you commenting on people needing clothing options when you literally wear the same thing every day? Why was he so passionate about this?
I know. Well, he kind of explains it here. So let's see what he has to say.
All right, to hit this properly, the ego is checked at the door. I got some shit to own up to. I deleted the video because it does the opposite of what I want to do. It made a lot of people feel unsafe with me, and that's the last thing that I want. So this is not gonna be a sappy apology video and be manipulative to try and win anybody over. This all made me realize the time in my life when I was overweight actually does trigger the fuck out of me. And it's not the body and the way that I looked that triggered me. It's the painful mindset I was stuck in that I do not want to be reminded of. My whole childhood and early adulthood, I felt very trapped and powerless in a body and a mind that I hated. It wasn't my physical appearance, I thought it was. It was really feeling like I had no control over my life and what that perception did to me. And now whenever I feel powerless, I say jarring shit to myself to snap me out of an old mentality and look for empowerment. But me sharing that in the fucked up way that I did was to help a lot of you, and it ended up hurting a lot more of you instead, because you feel like I judge you for the way that you look. It also made a lot of people feel like I was judging them for wanting to feel included. That's not what I stand for at all. I never want anyone to feel uncomfortable or unsafe around me, ever. But the way that I said things in that video made a lot of you feel disempowered and criticized.
It wasn't the way you said it.
I was looking out for you. And that's always my actual intent, and that'll sit right with me. So the video's gone. But not finding my size in things is something I deal with daily. I'm 6'7" and a size 16 shoe. Clothes are a pain in the ass. Shoes, rarely ever find. Bags, the strap, rarely long enough. It doesn't fit over my body. But that's a situation for me that makes me feel very powerless, is when my size is not made. And like I said, I stay triggering shit to myself to look for the control I do have when I'm looking at things that make me feel disempowered. And when a brand doesn't make my size, I look at it like saying, fuck them, versus giving them my attention and begging them to include me or bullying them to include me. It's 2024. These brands know that people come in all shapes, sizes, and colors. They're aware. They're choosing not to make certain things. Either it's a financial decision or it's an attempt to actually exclude you. But my personal relationship to that is feeling disempowered and not giving any of my attention to it. But not everybody has my same relationship to this scenario or
the same problem
to feeling powerless. And I don't like that my shit made a lot of people feel hurt. That's my thing to deal with. Everybody is allowed to freely speak their mind. Shouldn't have said that because I was doing it in that video. But the thing I should have communicated better was I find my power in absence. So I'm not going to give attention to the brands who don't cater to me.
You've missed the point.
He's saying the same thing over and over again, but is still missing the point that that's not how a lot of people feel. And you have to also understand that your journey, and I think he kind of touches on that, where it's like your journey with your weight and your understanding of yourself and how you deal with existing in this world is not everyone else's way of doing it. And you have to honor people's way of doing that. I'm a woman, and if I feel like a business is excluding women, yeah, sure, I may be like, okay, fuck them, and like I wouldn't deal with it. But if there's women that want to stand outside that business and be like, fuck you, I'd be like, you know what, hell yeah, you go, girl. Like, even if I don't
do it. There's power in numbers, and if enough people do voice their discontent with a brand for not catering to a certain community of people, then that could very much change how it, like, it has changed things in the past.
Well, that's how literally we have evolved as a society.
You can't just act like it's all a waste of time and these people are just being, like, spiteful and just
a lot
annoying.
Of people do that with politics, too. They'll say the same thing. It's like, well, what the fuck is the point? And I think to a certain extent, maybe everyone feels that way a little bit, where it's just like, oh my God, this is like, we're like a drop in a bucket. But look at all the change if you're comparing where we are right now to where our great grandparents were. Like, it does work. It just needs to remain consistent. There has to be people who have the fucking tenacity and strength to do it. And maybe that's not you and that's okay. But again, don't get in their fucking way. That's annoying. Like, that is the problem here.
And I think he's also relating his even current, like, aside from his weight thing that is current, that he's really tall and he can't fit into clothes, which honestly might be why he wears the same thing every day, because he doesn't have a lot of options. He's describing a problem that, yeah, people definitely are affected by. I'm sure there's tall people that get really frustrated that they can't buy things. But then also, I think he's not taking into account that the plus size thing isn't like a very just minute fraction of people. And it's not just like, oh, a few people are upset about it and like they can get over it. It's like, it's a societal problem, first of all, that it's stemming from. It's not just like the brands don't want to do it. It's like, there are a lot more layers to it than just like, they don't want to carry your size. Sorry.
Yeah. And honestly, just to that point, look at the size of the population, like we said in the beginning, that has a size 16 shoe. And then you may realize why they don't carry them in stores, because the likelihood that someone that's a size 16 shoe is going to walk in there and need that is very low, and that might just sit there and take up inventory space. Whereas if you look at the population of plus size people, it is a very large portion of our population that deserves to exist among us and purchase where we all purchase.
Well, and I think that your example with the makeup is so spot on to show why he's wrong and why still there's absolutely not enough shades. There's not enough inclusion in the makeup industry. But think how much more there is now than there was 5 years ago.
Well, so much so that now if a brand tries to come out with makeup that isn't an inclusive range, they're gonna fucking hear about it. There is not a single range that is not inclusive that doesn't get reamed. And does it still happen and brands still don't care? Sure. But yeah, if you're going to a store, you do see a difference. It's not where we wanna be, but it's a hell of a lot better than we were 10 years ago.
There's still a lot of progress that needs to be made, but it shows that people voicing that they're upset about something as a group definitely can make a change. So that just annihilates his whole, like, you're just wasting your time.
Yeah, it's bullshit. So I'm gonna keep playing, but I just think his entire even apology, even addressing it, where I understand he's trying to draw it into his own shit, which I do think is true. I think that a lot of, even the way, like I said, that he interacts with dieting and stuff, I think it's a little problematic or concerning in my eyes.
It's like internalized fat phobia.
Well, yeah. I think a lot of people turn being plus size, they'll like turn it around in an obsessive way, which can be really dangerous. You know what I mean? Whether it's like they're obsessed with the gym, they're obsessed with their diet,
or they're so scared of going back to that that they have to like attack people and the lifestyles that might pull them in that
direction. And that's why, honestly, I mean, as someone who has struggled with having a healthy relationship with dieting, quote unquote, I can't fucking do it. I think the entire concept of dieting is problematic. And I think that wanting to eat healthier because you don't want to feel like shit is a different thing. And I think that's the only thing that works for me, because I can't sit here and be like, okay, like I got to fucking get skinnier. I can't do this anymore. How is that
healthy? To have him bring up, like, I realized it wasn't about how I looked. Meanwhile, the last video, he's literally like, you don't look good in their clothes. They don't want you wearing
maybe
them.
He realizes that now, but he has to do a lot more work to really believe that, because again, this is big time internalized fat phobia. This is thinking fat bad, skinny good.
Yeah.
And that is just, it's problematic, and he needs to work
and
through that.
And also
heavily.
Thinking fat is lazy, work out and get skinny. Not that people might have other reasons why they're plus size, or they're just built bigger, or like, and he should know that because he's so fucking tall.
Yeah. I think that it's all fine and dandy that he's acknowledging certain aspects of it that are good for him to acknowledge, but I do think that he needs to realize there is work to do there, because that is a really, really hard thing to undo, is that feeling of like, when I am overweight, that is bad. I have always fluctuated within the same like 20 pounds, like my whole life basically. And so when I'm at the high end of those 20 pounds, I don't want to be feeling like a piece of shit, because I could still function just as the same. I'm not feeling uncomfortable. I don't feel unhealthy necessarily. It's just, I look a little bit different, and that's fucking okay. There's like just a lot of undoing he needs to do, because it's not a healthy mindset to have. You're always going to hate yourself, because that, how he looks right now, great. But he is looking like that almost out of fear, like you said, of like going back. And that's not, who wants to look like
that? Well, and that's the thing. It's not even just like fat bad, skinny good. It's fat means not good enough.
Yeah.
You're not doing enough. You're not trying hard enough. And it's like, maybe they are.
Yeah. And maybe it's none of your fucking business too. He just like inserted his mindset to all plus size people.
Talk about this, fine, but do it from like, hey, this is my personal experience. This is how I deal with it. Not literally like scolding people and being like, how dare you go after these brands and tell them to carry more sizes.
Ones that do, or make my own stuff when I can. With all this being said, my aversion to powerlessness and my own relationship to it and my poor communication of that made a lot of you think that I have an aversion to you because of the way that you look. And I want to make sure everyone knows that is 100% not true. I actually do want to say thank you to everyone who voiced their opinion and told me how hurt you were by this, because it really made me reflect. When people say I'm hurt, that's my wake up call of like, you did something, because that's never my intent. So instead of sitting here and saying I'm sorry, because those are just words and they don't do anything for anybody, I'm gonna give you my word that I'm gonna continue to do any work necessary to make sure that you always know and feel that I'm looking out for you and I'm here to protect.
But you're not. I hate when influencers do this shit. It's one thing to be like, hey, I appreciate you guys. You guys are amazing. Thank you for being so fucking kind and awesome. It's another thing to lie to their face and be like, I'm gonna keep you safe. I'm gonna look out for you. No, the fuck you're not. You're looking out for yourself. And then also, you don't know them. So it's like one thing to be someone who doesn't want to actively hurt people, sure, fine, but you're never going to please everyone. You're promising that as a blanket statement to I don't know how many hundreds of thousands of people that you don't know. That's a lie.
Speaking of lies, thought you might like to see this Snapchat that Leo posted the day before he posted his apology.
I do want to verbalize, because I don't know where people are pulling this out of their fucking ass, that I'm fat phobic. Part of me so bad wants to make a joke and be like, I ain't scared of fat people. But you don't deserve to like have anything taken from you or like face anything bad because you are overweight. But there are things and there are consequences to that. People are not, watch it. They're passing this whole fucking thing from the last I saw, I don't keep up with shit, about like people having to buy 2 plane seats. If I am someone that has to start, but I fly first. But if I was someone, like if I'm in a situation where like I exceed the size requirement and they tell me I have to buy 2 seats because of how big I am, I'm gonna just buy the seat and shut the fuck up. That's a consequence of my action to work out and get bigger. It is my choice to make myself bigger. It doesn't matter if it's through working out or eating myself half to death. It doesn't fucking matter. That's a consequence. This is reality, babe. It's not about fair. It's about what the fuck is going on. Like if there's a requirement, if you exceed that, for either one, you exceed that. Take the consequence or don't fucking fly. You know what I mean?
Really drives home how not fat phobic he is, wouldn't you say?
Anyway, he might have posted more, but honestly, I think we've heard enough anyway. Let's just move on.
Like, I just don't like that whole thing. I think it's like parasocial weirdness.
Well, and when you've already very much communicated the sentiment I said, it's like when he was overweight, it made him feel like he wasn't good enough. So why would anyone think that he would not view other people as not being good enough for the exact same thing?
The reality is, whether he wants to admit it or not, that is how he feels. Because if you see yourself and you think, oh my God, when I was a young adult or a child, he looks at that with such disgust. I think that he doesn't realize that that is how he looks at everyone else. You are not looking at a plus size person and thinking like, oh yeah, they're just like me. Like we're just two people in meat suits. Like who fucking cares? You're not. You are noticing that they're plus size, which is fine. You can notice someone is plus size or skinny or whatever. We have eyes. But like you are inherently feeling that they are less than because you think of that child that was plus size as less than. Like you need to do work. You gotta dig deeper.
And also he's thinking like, well, I fixed my problem, so go fix yours. Then you'll fit into more clothes.
Yeah, now like, he just realized like, ooh, they don't want me to say that and that hurts their feelings, so I'm gonna not say that. That's so not the main issue. It's that you see your relationship because like literally take the internet away from all this. You're feeling the way you felt in that first video because of your relationship with how you felt when you were overweight. And he even said here, like, it's not about how I looked. It's about all of it. It's about every element of who you were at that time you need to dig into.
It almost seems like he is kind of communicating the sentiment that like not giving people the option to have plus size options when they go shopping will be motivation for them to change that. And he doesn't think it should be the other way around.
But all that being said, it was very well received. The comments that I see as of 3 hours ago are, you know, they're good. They're like, I know what he meant. I think people just took it the wrong way. I think a lot of people forget or don't realize that Leo has always had cutthroat advice / opinions. Perspective is key. Yeah, that's why I've honestly thought he was always problematic as fuck. He has a podcast and half the clips that go on TikTok, I'm like, oh, people are fine with that? Interesting. Like, if we ever said anything like that on our podcast, it would be Armageddon. Is that correct?
There's an audience for everything, I guess.
Before we continue, we want to thank the second sponsor of today's episode, and that's Olive & June.
Olive & June provides everything you need for salon-worthy nails that you can get at home.
As you guys know, I get my nails done. I have acrylics, but I do like to paint my toes, and I'm kind of weird. I paint my toes the same color over and over and over and over again for like 7 months until I'm sick of it.
Yeah, I do that too, because then I just layer it on top
period.
When it starts.
I don't layer it, girl. I take it off, and then I put it back on. So I still have on Pink Sands. I put it on again, and I love this color. I do have more that I want to try, but what I love about Olive & June is their innovation when it comes to the products that they have for nail care. Because like I said, I have acrylics. So their foot serum I use every single night because it doesn't leave my feet all greasy.
One of my favorite things, I knew that we got nail polish remover the first time around, but I hadn't tried it yet. It's this little pot and I'm going to demonstrate it for you guys.
Oh no, you're going to take off your nail.
I'm just so generous. Just one of them. I'll redo it later. So they give you this little nail polish remover pot and you take off the top and there's like a little like spongy thing here. So you can either use that, which it's meant for your toes. It's like submerged in nail polish remover. Yeah. And so then you use that on your toes. But then for your fingers, you just stick it in and it's like foam inside too. And you just twirl it around a little bit and then it's all gone.
Oh, that's so cool. Interesting. So the top comes off for your toes. You're not supposed to jam your whole toe in there. Got it. And if you guys want to try Olive & June for yourself, you can visit oliveandjune.com/DWKT for 20% off of your first system.
That's OliveAndJune. As I said last time, it's olives, which I don't eat, and then June like the month.
And again, that's for 20% off of your first system. Thank you so much to Olive & June for sponsoring this episode.
I hate this trend of people going like, they can never make me hate you.
And it's I'm like, maybe they should.
They should be able to make you hate
them. Oh my God.
Them,
I actually didn't plan on talking about this, but do you want to really quickly talk about the Morgan Wallen thing? Because that sentiment
what
of
Morgan
like,
Wallen thing?
Oh, you don't know?
No.
Do you know who Morgan Wallen is?
Country singer?
Yes.
I'm sorry. Literally, can I just point this out to the girlies? Like, what is this one long hair going to? Well, this one fell out of the ponytail, but what is this? Why is this happening? I'm sorry. Didn't mean to distract.
But anyway, super quick. Morgan Wallen has had a few issues when he's drank in the past. But what recently happened was he was in Nashville. He was, I think, 4 stories up on a bar. And allegedly the reason why he got upset is because he found out that his ex-fiance, whom he cheated cheated on, allegedly, eloped and got married. And apparently that pissed him off. I don't know if that's factual or not, but he did actually, this is factual, get upset and he threw a chair off of four stories or more than four stories. I don't even know. But the point is, he could have killed someone. But lucky for him, it fell in front of cops who then arrested him. And now he is in a world of shit. The reason why I thought of that is because that comment, that sentiment of like, they could never make me hate you, that is literally all the comments under every Morgan Wallen post. It's like, so what? Like, who cares? Like, he's got a good heart. Like, they can never make me hate Morgan Wallen. Are you okay? Like, he could have killed someone. There could have been an elderly woman walking on the fucking street.
Well, he didn't.
Yeah. Well, the reason this tie-in, Lily has been looking at the screen and seeing that Gabby Egan, who is a friend of the show, is on screen. The reason why this ties into it is because, as we know, she recently got arrested in Nashville for assaulting waitstaff, police officers, again.
I was waiting for you to tell me that he threw off the chair and it like landed next to the cops that she was then headbutting.
No, this happened after. Like, this is in chronological order. So Gabby did that a couple weeks ago. We talked about it. Morgan Wallen is now in Nashville. And Gabby has yet to address this publicly necessarily. She has hinted at things, but she has not said the story of what happened.
Lauren the Mortician tried to.
Oh, really? Of the story?
She tried to bring it up and be like, well, you haven't even told your side.
And I actually love that because Gabby even responded to Lauren like, well, no, but it was, you know, I'm pretty fucked up.
Like, Lauren is trying to be like, you haven't told your side. And she's like, well, I mean.
What bothers me is that you haven't even come out and said like your side or what happened or anything. And the internet has already declared you guilty.
Yeah.
And you're the problem. You're the bad guy.
Well, I definitely have problems.
I mean, don't.
Yeah, Lauren doesn't understand that not everyone believes their own bullshit. And some people do actually realize when they fuck up.
No, the haters are out to get everyone and just cancel
right,
everyone.
Exactly. But anyway, long story short, we're not going to linger on this. Gabby posted this, I think, today. It says, looks like Nashville has a new problem starter. And it's a Morgan Wallen song. And she's just like giggling.
And she picks up a chair and pretends to throw it.
So that's funny. Not
interesting choice.
Like, why would you do that when you haven't even discussed? And like, the thing with her is like, her audacity never ceases to amaze me, because it's like, never. Girl, you weren't accused of something random. You're accused of like slapping the fuck or punching, was it, a waitress who just was there. But the tie-in there was that people are like super for Morgan Wallen. Like, they're like, okay, well, so what? He did that. Like, you can never make me hate him. It's like, oh, geez, what have we come to? I don't like anyone on this earth enough to support anything that they do like that. Like, I love my brother, but if he did some stupid shit like that, I'd be like, you're an idiot. Like, right? Yeah, isn't that how people work?
The blind parasocial loyalty is gross. Disturbing.
Yeah. But anyway, we will move on to our actual second topic, because that was not it. And that's Todrick Hall, other friend of the show. Not at all. I quite do not like him. I'm sorry.
Okay, and can we mention that I had texted you before the second half of the story had happened? I texted Jesse a screenshot that apparently Todrick's family's home had burned down, which that's absolutely terrible. Wouldn't wish that on anyone. First of all, I've texted her a few times in the past few months where he is advertising his cameo and he'll be like, I'm doing a sale. And I'm like, does anyone want them? Then he had posted that he'd linked to a GoFundMe to help his family pay the expenses and stuff of the burned down house. But also, like, they have insurance that would cover the house, I guess. And it would just be covering, like, them in the meantime. Yeah, it says, my family was renting a home, so the insurance will cover fixing the home, but will take a while and ultimately just helps the homeowners, not my family. We are survivors, all of us, and I know they'll get through this. If you aren't able to help, just know that we still appreciate your support. The GoFundMe was for $10,000, and we're not going to sit here and say, like, don't make GoFundMes. Obviously, pretty hypocritical. I was just a little surprised because $10,000 isn't, like, a crazy absorbent amount of money, and he is advertising his cameos all the time. I guess he did get caught for like not paying rent once, so maybe he doesn't have any money. But like,
well, not just not paying rent, didn't he get called out for not paying people, like employees?
Yeah, I don't think that was ever like necessarily confirmed, but yeah, there's been money rumors about him in the past.
What I found interesting was when I saw my family's home burn down, I really did expect it to be like $100,000, $200,000, something really crazy. $10,000 is a lot of money, but for someone who flaunts a lifestyle that he has, and he does live in a very, very, very nice house. You know, he
doesn't
live.
He has a pair of shoes that cost $10,000.
Absolutely. Like, this is not a middle class content creator. like us. He flaunts a lifestyle that makes it seem like he should have been able to make that happen. So yeah. People already, when he launched this, thought that it was a little bit strange and he was getting called out for it. And also, he's been called out recently for a million reasons. He's defended Colleen with his like whole chest. So I'm going to show you a post that calls out what happened 3 days, I believe, after this GoFundMe went live. And none other than Matthew, the spray tan guy or whatever the fucking suntan guy, is the one exposing it. And you know what's so ironic about that? Is that isn't his whole fucking thing with Michaela? It was all over $10,000 too? Because he took out a $10,000 loan? I was like, you are like what? Like attracted to $10,000? Or like, how do you just show up here?
So my stance on all of that, I remember I didn't know that he had also like a previous thing about like trying to get attention around the Trisha thing with the boots. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, you should go watch that episode because it's kind of funny. But I went into that being like, I mean, I don't think Michaela owed him anything, but I think it was shitty of her to make it seem like she was going to do something that she didn't.
Dude, and
she didn't.
Can I just be honest? I don't remember what I said, but I held my tongue so much in that episode because I thought he was so weird for that. Like, I genuinely thought, like, what the fuck is he saying that for? Like, she doesn't owe you shit.
There's a lot of situations where it's like, I would not handle it how these people handle it, but I do understand where they're coming from. Like, I'm trying to kind of give them the...
He gave me Cloud Goblin vibes. I just couldn't say that because at the time...
like, he does kind of pop up and he's like, hello, I'm going to capitalize on this now. And I was like, what is he doing talking about this? Like, it's not like he's a drama channel. So why is he like randomly...
Oh, but he's very much like a little gopher. Like, he likes to be involved in all this and just pop his little head out. Like, I don't get genuine vibes from him at all, but I couldn't say that at the time because a lot of the public was on his side. And I just wanted to present him more as like, this is what's happening, because if I gave too much of my opinion, I was going to sound kind of mean.
I think the thing was also that like, we know that Michaela doesn't give genuine vibes. So that's why I think I was also giving him the benefit of the doubt, because she has fucked up in the past and
right.
It wasn't out of the realm of possibility.
For
but
sure.
I saw that, I haven't watched this video, but I saw his face on it and I was like, what is he doing here?
Okay, so let's watch his call out of Todrick so you guys can get the tea from Matthew.
By the way, Todrick did raise, he met his goal. It says, at the point of filming this, it looks like he made 10,343 of the 10,000.
Yeah.
Todrick Hall is asking fans for money because he says his family's house has burned down. In the GoFundMe, he says, typically I would be the person to step up to the plate to help, but as a performer who's just recovering from the pandemic and the union strike myself, there's only so much I can do. Now, this was just 3 days ago, he set a goal to raise $10,000, which he has already hit. Last night in Los Angeles, he threw a birthday party. There was a petting zoo, horses to take photos on, a mechanical bull, at least three drag performers, a tattoo artist, multiple photo stations. This is the one that you stand on and it spins around you to make a video. Another photo booth. Cakes like this in Los Angeles don't cost less than $500.
Okay, the cake is the least of the problems.
Any of the booze.
I was gonna say that cake looks like it's $2.
But what made me cringe the most was this video one of his girlfriends posted.
Todrick, you guys.
Look at that fucking closet.
You guys.
Yeah, just give me one shoe and I'll sell that.
If you don't know, I used to be a celebrity assistant for like an actual celebrity, like an A-list celebrity. There's no way. If I'm being very conservative with my math, there's no way that party cost less than $15,000. I bet it was at least $20,000.
Way more.
I just cannot imagine coming on the internet telling people that my...
No offense, but Matthew, I'm going to cut you off there because we'll just come in with our opinion.
We've heard enough. You could say that, like, obviously the fire wasn't planned, so he didn't know that was coming, but... If you have the money to throw a party like that, you're not using your last grand in your bank account to throw a party. You're doing it because you have that lifestyle that you can afford that and you're going to be fine afterwards.
Yeah, I think that a lot of people were saying like, oh, he probably prepaid for a lot of this shit in the party. Obviously, he didn't pay for it 3 days in advance. But like Lily said, he's not going to use the last bit of money, or at least that would be a very irresponsible thing to do, to throw this party. So he is able to do something as lavish as this because he has the money, or because he's screwing over a lot of people. I don't know. Hey guys, so I'm just popping in here real quick because there is an update. Todrick has posted to his Instagram story addressing this whole situation, and he posted some really, really horrible hate comments that he got, because obviously people take things way too far on the internet. And they were calling him a scammer and other definitely racist things, which is awful, obviously. And so he addressed it in a statement that says, "I struggle sometimes to decide whether or not to address controversy, but in my experience, saying nothing allows the internet to paint your narrative, and I'm not interested in allowing that anymore. I just want to be crystal clear, I would never spend money that my fans raised during a traumatic time for my family on a birthday party. I wouldn't, under these circumstances, spend my own money on a party either. Everything at my party was either gifted or sponsored, and it was organized by someone very close to me who knows I've been going through a rough time and wanted to celebrate me on my birthday and going away party. I don't expect everyone to understand my life, my choices, etc. And I know that I'm not for everyone, but the level of hate, death threats, racism, etc. that I receive on a daily basis is just not acceptable and it's dangerous. People swear I don't pay for anything until it fits their narrative to say I'd spend $20,000 on a birthday, which I have never done. Everyone's telling me to sell my home and my luxury possessions, which I am, but last year they swore I lied about owning my home. You can't sell a home you don't own, by the way, but no one checks these facts. They just circulate the headlines. At the end of the day, I'd like to say thank you to everyone who donated to help me and my family. This has been extremely difficult for us emotionally already without the internet chiming in. We need to be careful of how we talk about people online because these comments can be absolutely too much, especially from people who aren't at all involved in the situation. Thanks for everyone who helped, and thanks to all my LA peeps who came out to support me for my birthday slash going away. I'm excited to unplug and be back with my first love, musical theater." And then he posts some text proof, and it's his friend, allegedly the one that threw the party, telling him, "Are you doing anything for your birthday? If you would like, I can get some sponsors for food, and I can have Neft Vodka sponsor the whole thing." And he replied, "Oh my god, I'd die for that." And then he has a text showing how the whole tattoo station at the party came to be, and it was his friend telling him, "Unless you're down for the artist to charge for the tattoos, like $50 to $100 flash tattoos. That way, whatever they make is what they make, and you don't need to pay anything. You're just letting them set up for free. That's also a good idea. That way, you don't have to worry about any budget." So it seems like they might have had conversations where Todrick was like, "Hey, would love a party, can't spend money on it," type of thing. Which honestly, I had kind of assumed that some of the stuff was gifted. It is how the influencer world works. I just figured at least some of the stuff got gifted. I don't know about food and everything, but I think people were most kind of like taken aback by not just the party, but by looking at Todrick's house. Obviously, it is huge and amazing and super luxurious. And in LA, like, it has to be insanely expensive to live there. And again, he wasn't trying to raise $100,000, $200,000, where it's like, okay, even if you have a lot of money, that's still a lot of money. The $10,000 goal was, I think, what got people a little bit confused, myself included, thinking, hey, $10,000 is not the end all be all, especially when you live in a luxury place in LA. But if this story teaches us anything, it's that what people own and how they live is not always a direct representation of their bank account. Some people do live beyond their means. Some people have sudden drops in income, but some people, like Todrick, in my opinion, might have had this money at one point in his career to support this kind of lifestyle, but hasn't had that in quite some time. Which, if he recognizes that now and makes the adjustment and says, okay, I'm selling my house, I'm selling all this luxury crap, and I'm just gonna move and live within my means, then good. I think it's better late than never. And I understand why a lot of people have issues with him, but the racist comments and all that shit, it's so unnecessary. It's so overboard. It's not gonna do anything. I don't know what these people think they're doing. But yeah, as always, the internet has a way of pushing a boundary way too fucking far. But yeah, that's the update. That's the situation. I guess most of his party was gifted and he's selling everything. Okay, bye. And also, just a petty little side note on Matthew's side, when he said, like, "I used to be a celebrity for actual A-list celebrities." Sir, you took out a $10,000 loan because a TikTok creator told you she'd shout you out, and then you basically cried on the internet when she didn't. So it seems like you value internet celebrities, sir. I think he's right in saying that Todrick is not a celebrity. I just think he's annoying for saying that, specifically because cried on the internet also trying to raise money for Trisha Paytas's boots.
Well, like, that's something I was thinking of, but because I also remember that during all that, wasn't Trisha selling bags to be able to pay for the boots, supposedly? But not because she couldn't afford it. It was just because they, like, weren't necessary. So my question is, like, Todrick can't do that? Because I'm sure he has plenty of things that he could give up either for a month or, like, sell, and he would have 10 grand easy. So when he's already begging for money from cameo things for on a daily basis, and now he's gonna be like, "I don't have any money," it's like, well
that's where all the rumors that come in about him being really bad with finances and fucking over a lot of people. And I think that was something that was even being talked about when he was on Big Brother, that he didn't pay, like, performers or something, and he was defending it or something along those lines. Like, those rumors all play a part into this, though, because it's like, he could just be really bad with money and fucking everyone over, and then simultaneously something happened to his family that he's like, "I do not have the money to do that because I'm so bad with money and fucking over people." Like, I wouldn't be surprised if those photo booths were gifted, if, like, multiple things there were gifted or...
Oh, that actually is a good point that he could have had like influencer kind of trade-offs for it.
But anyway, that's pretty much it. People put two and two together. They were like, girly, you were just asking for money. Now you're throwing this lavish party. And it's not like in our situation, for instance, you were like getting your hair done while we got like, what is it for our lawyer fund? We were raising donation and then Lily got her hair done and she got Botox. Very different price points we're talking here. You know what I mean? Like we're raising $30,000, $60,000.
Making a huge dent in our lawyer fees. And also I kind of get the vibe that he isn't necessarily, I mean, maybe he does struggle with how he handles his money, but it also kind of seems like he has the money. He's just stingy and selfish about how he's
perhaps. I've also gotten that vibe from him. He gives me bad vibes overall, which sucks because I really did used to like him, especially when I was like in high school and shit. And he's so talented. And he just
honestly, I still have songs that pop up on my shuffle that I really enjoy.
What's the name of his assistant? The something Italian, Tommy Italiano.
He always tags me in videos.
I don't know if I've said it on this show, but I got a Facebook message from a random Facebook friend that was like, hey, I'm hanging out with Tommy Italiano and he's showing me your podcast. I was like, fucking slay. That's pretty much it. That was the call out. But, you know, Todrick's a friend of the show that we had to just discuss it, you know?
Between that and Gabby Egan being a friend of you, that was...
Yeah, I know. A roller coaster, wasn't it? Yeah. I do have a We Love the Internet.
Yeah, sorry, guys. We had to kind of rush through this one. We have a lot going on.
Yeah. We've had some short episodes. I think this episode and last episode was a little short. We'll try to make next one a little longer.
We've also had some long ones.
I know. We actually had like a long, what is it called? A stint? Or like a long period of time.
A stint.
I don't know. It was a long period of time where we were regularly uploading longer episodes. But yeah, this week has been fucking crazy. So we haven't been able to, but we'll try next time. We'll try our best. Anyway, this is my We Love the Internet. It says, when your husband takes playtime very seriously.
Oh, I love this guy.
Oh, you know him?
I've seen a few of them.
I'd be. Oh, no, it's only four up, hunty. I let it slide. It'll be our little secret. Come on in.
Let's go, guys!
Love the nails!
The nails every time.
Oh, she's throwing them off.
Not the frozen karaoke.
Thank y'all for coming out here tonight. This is your DJ Rocky Road.
It's like Megan's dream back in the day.
Do you know what I love so much about this? Is that we do this with Amelie. I mean, we don't card her at the door, but like we have party lights and she just breaks it down. She loves it.
Just throw raves.
Oh my God. She's such a partier.
Oh my God. I love that. I've seen him so many times because he does ones where it's like he's pretending to be like a drive-thru worker and he'll like sit somewhere where there's like a door and she'll start to order and he'll be like, sorry, we're closed.
Oh, I didn't know that. I haven't seen more of him.
Oh my God, just randomly. He has like a whole, it's a whole series he does.
Oh my gosh.
And every time he always has the nails and he's like chewing gum. It's great. Okay, so I see this couple a lot and the guy, it's, the account is Carlo and Sarah and the guy is, I want to say Italian. He speaks English, but it's like not his first language, definitely. And he's so sweet and just like so genuine. And it's just the sweetest thing ever.
You guys, we're literally hiking right now. And I was just saying how I forgot a ponytail. And I turn around and Carlo just said,
"It's gonna help you.
Where did you get this? What is this? What even is this thing? Where'd you get that?
You don't worry about.
Where did you get? Did you get it from the GoPro? Is this a GoPro hang? Will this even work?
I don't know, try.
Let's see, hold on. I'm literally gonna cry.
In this way. See? Look like work.
Okay. Kind of.
Oh, wait, I can do smaller.
Oh, wait, you can tighten it.
Yeah.
Oh, look at that. My GoPro ponytail.
Yeah.
How did you think to do that?
You needed it, so I tried to figure it out.
I'm not going to say I'm going to cry, but...
No, because what we learn...
I just feel like you're not real sometimes.
Right. I'm... No, you can film. You can do the journey better way.
I am unwell.
No, please.
It it's so sweet because he just, like, I know the bar is in hell for a lot of, like, relationship videos where it's like, okay, he gave her a ponytail, whatever. But, like, just the fact that he is like, oh, she doesn't have a ponytail. That's going to be, like,
a thing that annoying bothers her.
To deal yeah. with. Yeah, like, she's not going to enjoy the hike as much. What can I use? And the fact that he, like, literally, like, is so resourceful and just does it. And then the limited English just makes it really sweet. It's not even the bar is in hell.
I always will stand by it. And I've said it, I think, on this podcast before. To be loved is to be considered. It's one of my favorite quotes. Like, I mean, it literally means everything to me. When I just say, like, one little thing and it sticks with Nassim, yeah. and then, like, either he tries to resolve it without even telling me he's trying to resolve it. Like, that's literally the most amazing thing a human being can do for you.
And that there, it doesn't seem like it's coming from a place of, like, I'm doing this so I can, like, get something out of it later. It's just like, no, I just wanted you to have a better time, and here yeah. is a way we can do that.
Most of the TikToks I've seen from them are when she's breaking the spaghetti or, like, doing something like that, and he's like, oh, mi amore, what are you doing?
But,
like,
he's still know. Trying to be so nice about it. He's like, yeah. oh my god, but, like, oh, let me help you. Wait, I didn't address my concern.
Oh god,
it can be quick, you guys. 2 episodes ago, I believe, we went on a little rant about conspiracy theorists and how they want to believe the like Illuminati is in charge of everything, and all these evil people are all conspiring with each other. We talked about the Jeffrey Epstein Island rumor that supposedly it's the same as the Nickelodeon logo, and that's what Nickelodeon based their logo off of, when, like, very clearly, if you look at the real aerial view side by side, that is not happening, and people are just making that up. But then I went on to say that it annoys me because Jeffrey Epstein's island doesn't even have to do with, and I quote, little children. Epstein's island doesn't even have anything to do with little children. That was not me saying that Jeffrey Epstein didn't abuse minors and those weren't his victims. Little children, I was referring to, like, people act like his island was just, like, full of 10-year-olds running around that were, like, kidnapped from their parents. Maybe that came across wrong, and I apologize that I didn't specify further. But I would also like to throw out there that, you guys, I have researched Jeffrey Epstein specifically. Over a year of my life, that is what I was doing as, like, my full-time job, basically. And that's why I then went broke, and then we needed to start this podcast. And that's why I never put any of it up. Like, when I say I have hundreds of pages of both written notes, typed notes, I have a little 125-page script that I was going to make an entire series over. I have very much spent a lot of time looking into all facets of that case. One thing that I know specifically is that he didn't traffic young children that were, like, whisked away from their parents or something, which is what a lot of conspiracy theorists have come to kind of insinuate, and they don't necessarily even look into the actual realities of the case, which were that him and Ghislaine, mostly Ghislaine, would recruit young girls who were around 15 to 17, usually. They were in high school. They would go seek these girls out in, like, low-income areas and try and find groups of girls that maybe didn't have the best relationships with their parents, or they just, like, needed money. And then they would lure them into this operation that they had built up, where it was like a pyramid scheme, basically, of girls, where then they'd offer them money to give him massages. And then once they got in there, it would be like, well, we'll give you money. We'll give you a cut if you can recruit your friends to also come do that. Some of the girls did actually just, I mean, that's fucking weird in general, but, like, they did just give him, like, non-sexual massages. But the whole thing is that a lot of them got sexually abused after they had gone into it thinking that it was something not so just awful. Like, one of the main victims, Virginia Giuffre, ended up kind of getting sucked into this whole world where they'd fly her on the private jet, which, that's the thing, is they were in Palm Beach. That's where most of the girls would come from. And then they'd bring them to his fucking island, and then they did sex traffic them and, like, have them sleep with other people on the island because these girls got sucked into this lifestyle that then they didn't know how to get back out of. And the whole problem with that, and why I brought any of it up, is because sex trafficking isn't this clear-cut stereotype where it's like people are kidnapped and then sold into sex slavery. It can be that they were, like, kind of lured in under the guise of something else, and then things get out of control and they are manipulated and they don't know how to get out of it. So it goes a lot deeper than that, but there was a few comments that just nicely tried to correct me. And then there was a few that kind of insinuated that I had no idea what I was talking about and I was spreading misinformation and all this stuff. And I just want to tell you that it's not the case. I'm sorry that I did not clarify more, but trust me, I'm very aware that Jeffrey Epstein did horrible things. It's not any more or less horrible than younger kids that might get sex trafficked the nefarious ways that people describe in those conspiracy theories. But my point is that those make up a very small fraction, while the cases like Jeffrey Epstein are a much more prominent problem that people kind of just look the other way on. And that's why he was able to get away with it for so long. And in Epstein's case in particular, they go to court and their legitimate legal defense against these victims that have all come forward was that they were underage prostitutes. You cannot be an underage prostitute because you cannot consent to having sex when you are underage. And their evidence was by like screenshotting their MySpace profiles where it would show that they like drank on the weekends. It would be like a post about weed or something. And it would be like, look at, they drink and do drugs and they made money. So like, he didn't do anything wrong. That is the problem the whole conversation was about, because those are the instances that get thrown off to the side and no one wants to fight those ones. People are always like, how did everyone not know? They did know, they just didn't care. And they were like, well, those girls were slutty, they deserved it. Like, no, that's not the case. And I think that those conversations need to be had because they do make up the vast majority of the sex trafficking crimes. It's things that people will justify or, again, look the other way because they don't think it's that big of a deal, because it isn't as like black and white, like they did something to a 9-year-old. They're like, well, how old is she? She was almost 18. So anyway, I'm very passionate about that subject, if you could not tell. And it was very frustrating to read people go, Lily, there were minors on that island. And I'm like, I never said there weren't. I said little children. I personally, when I think a 16 or 17 year old high school girl, I'm not going to classify them as a little child. I would say that they are a minor and it's just as fucked up, but it's very different and it's happening because people don't address that it is happening.
Yeah, I don't know enough about that world to comment on it in a way that makes any sense. So I will just say Slay Queen. Period.
I had responded to a few comments, but I just kept seeing them. And then it was very frustrating because I was like, I would never be trying to minimize what happened with Jeffrey Epstein. And I think that it is minimized by people misrepresenting it to be something that it wasn't. Anyway, thank you for watching. If you've made it to the end, we appreciate you. And my truly is hot.
Yeah. So we'll see you next time. Bye, guys.
Cheers.